Made of shames, made of claims. Seit ihr wisst in meiner Herz reingekommen, aus meiner Leib war wandelt in frei. In meinem Verschweiget ziehen innen.
Oh, you said it. That was the immortal Seymour Rechtzeit, an illustrious career in Yiddish entertainment here in the United States. Many, many years, many people may recognize him yet from WEVD. My favorite of his is the Ajax commercial in Yiddish on WEVD, among others, other great ones. I'd like to open the show tonight, actually, with an interview I recorded with Rafi Goldwasser. Rafi is the founder and artistic director of a theater in Strasbourg, France, called the Lufttheater. It's a Yiddish theater. And he travels the world performing. He's a Well, the interview will speak for itself, and I'll get started with it in just a second. All right, here we go.
Okay, Rafi, would you say a few words?
Yes, I would like to say something intelligent, but it will be difficult.
So we're sitting on things. This does not record
no.
Stupid things.
Okay, so
we're sitting with Rafi Goldwasser, very well-known and well-loved Yiddish actor from Strasbourg, France. So, Rafi, you just gave a talk about what would you say in English, a methodology for teaching Yiddish theater art?
Yes, maybe. It's a good name, good
okay.
title.
And you prefaced your talk, which was very interesting and very extensive, by talking about the brach of Yiddish theater. I guess brach is one of those special Yiddish words. what did you mean by that? What does that mean, and what is your view on
it? Let us say that I know really everything that is going on in Yiddish theater in the world. And the situation is really hopeless, in my eyes. I say in my eyes because, of course, every one of us has his willings, his preferences, what he would like to do in theater, in Yiddish theater. I mean, everyone has his taste, and I don't find for my taste anything that is going on in Yiddish theater today.
What would your taste be? What would you like to see going on in Yiddish theater today?
I would like to see very good Yiddish authors put in a very modern way that could be possibly viewed by every public, not only Yiddish public, of course not, because it doesn't exist anymore, even not Jewish public, but a good play about a Yiddish thematic in a very good way done, modern.
So you're saying that this doesn't exist now, that nobody is doing this kind of work right now?
No, nobody's doing it. No.
Could you tell us what kind of work you do in Strasbourg? How that plays out for you working in Strasbourg?
We exist since 1992 when I put the Megille of Isik Manga there, and people loved it very much, and also the critics. And from that moment, we got a very serious support by the Ministry of Culture and the municipality of Strasbourg. Since there, we put Manger, we put Bashevis Singer, we put Shalom Aleichem, Peretz.
In Yiddish?
In Yiddish, and Yiddish in French, and French together, and also in French only. It depends what's the target of the specific play that we put on stage.
And you say that the situation is hopeless in your eyes. If you could wave a magic wand and make it hopeful, how would you go about creating the type of atmosphere in Yiddish theater to bring about the ideal situation of doing serious authors and serious plays and presenting plays to a public that is not necessarily confined to Yiddish speakers?
I'll tell you, it would be very easy, because in Europe they have the European Council, the European Parliament, they have money and they would like to encourage Yiddish culture. It would be very easy to make an international troupe of people talking Yiddish that can put the best plays with very simple translation in each language needed. Only that this idea was a basic idea that existed in the moment, and the politicians didn't want anymore to do it.
The European politicians?
Yes.
I see. So you're saying today that no longer is an option, a viable approach or a viable possibility of having them funded the European
Union? There has to be a willing of the politics to do it.
Of the Yiddish theaters today, we do have Yiddish theater, and you have worked with a great many of them, almost all of them, as a matter of fact.
Almost, yes.
Why do you think that with the theater here, the Volksbühne and Atzmon's Yiddish Spiel and Bryna Wasserman with the Dora Wasserman Theater, etc., 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 why is this goal not being met? What is falling short? What is lacking? Because I know this idea of an international Yiddish theater is something that I talked about to Atzmon, I talked about to Bryna, and everybody says yes, 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 and we're working on it, but it never seems to materialize. Mm-hmm. So what do you think we can do to make it happen? How can, or have you just given up?
I give up. Yeah. Personally, I don't, I'm not breaking my head on this anymore. I mean, if somebody is going to make the effort to do it, I'll be very glad to play with it, even to direct if necessary. But I don't see the real willing of people doing it. You see, and each when you say this one wanted and this one wanted, etc., etc., every one of these persons has his personal view of how and how it has to be, and generally they are talking not as a team of people that have to work together. Everyone has his idea and would like to do the thing in his way. To do something together, you have to be ready, first of all, to make a compromise, knowing that the other person thinks in another way. And if there is no a real willing to work together, it would be almost impossible to do it together.
We were fortunate enough to be able to co-sponsor an evening with you, with the Kultur Congress, New Yiddish Rep. And the material you presented was material from Alter Katzisner.
Yes.
And it's something very delightful that you put together from Singer.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Singer. And I have to tell you, that was the first time I've seen you perform many times.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I've ever seen you perform with another actor.
Yes, because to make things in Yiddish, I don't have so many partners, of course.
And oddly enough, the actor was speaking in English.
Yes, yes. But he could speak in Yiddish.
He could speak Yiddish also. But it was a delightful thing for me to see you work with someone
yes,
on stage.
Yes.
And
don't believe that I cannot work with other people. But concerning Yiddish, in the situation I live in being in France, and I have no other partners to do it.
I understand.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on, what projects you're working on?
Yes.
I know you're bringing Gilgul Finanugin to the Montreal Festival in June.
Before I'll be in Sao Paulo.
You'll be in Sao Paulo?
I sent a DVD, they saw it in Sao Paulo, they want it in Sao Paulo, and after that I'll play it in Montreal, as you say, and I think that in September also in the Warsaw Festival.
Uh-huh.
They would like to have it also.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's a good play and everyone wants to have it, but not always people want to pay the price for it.
That I understand.
Everything has a price.
Let me ask you, have you been to the Warsaw Festival before? Have you
Twice.
How do you feel about going to Warsaw to perform Yiddish theater? What do you think that's all about?
It's interesting because my father was from there, and I feel very warmness there. They are trying to do something. I don't know really very well what they are doing. I saw things. I believe that now the feeling that I have is that they would like me to somehow help them because they are lacking actors and directors and so they have a willing. I think that also the politicians want something, but they are lacking the content of it, and they are looking for it now. They are looking for it. It's a beginning of something, you know. There is something that they feel a need. Something they feel a need. Also, the Polish people, they feel something. They don't know what it is. It's very caricatural, a little bit, but there is a research.
I myself have very mixed feelings about it.
Mm.
I find it difficult to sympathize with, look, let's face it. The Poles and the Europeans, they destroyed the world that we had. They destroyed a whole world.
Mm.
They destroyed a culture. Now they seem to want to be the curators of that culture. And I find that personally a bit difficult to deal with. I know a lot of people travel to Germany or they have many festivals and they are willing to pay.
Mm.
For the most part, they will. But I find it extremely difficult myself to feel comfortable with it.
Mm.
So I was just wondering what your feelings were being there and having worked there.
I don't have the same feelings.
Okay.
I don't have the same feelings. If somebody offers me work, I go and do it. Of course, there will be a limit, but it's not the same as yours.
Mm-hmm. No, don't get me wrong. If they were willing to pay me, I would.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm just saying.
Yes, yes.
I don't know how there's some discomfort for me there.
Yes.
And what are you working on? One last question I'd like to ask you is: what are you working on? What future productions are you working on?
We are working on a production of the Chumash Lieder, the Pentateuch of Yitzhak Manger, and we are going to be two on scene, Astrid Roof, that is my associated since 1992, and me, she is more singer than actress, and I'll sing also on stage. It will be really in Yiddish with a translation that we thought that will be fitted to every place that will buy the play.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because the text is in Yiddish with a visual translation, and the text that will be the binds, the introduction text and so on will be the Bible. And the Bible talked by God. God himself will be our third partner. And the Bible, as you know, is translated in every language.
That's true.
So we'll not have a problem of translation.
I look forward to seeing it at some point. And I'd like to close by asking you, if you could say something to the Yiddish theater world as we know it now.
Mm.
To try and encourage a real, you know, the vision of Yiddish theater as you know it, as you see it, as you would like to see it, what would you say?
I would say that if you want, it can happen. It can happen. And if there are people that are wanting to do it, it's the most powerful thing that you have, the willing.
I agree wholeheartedly. And just before we sign off, could you tell people how they can find out about the Lufttheater, what the website is?
Yes, it is http://www.lufttheater.com.
.com.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Rafi, so much for
thank
your time.
You very much.
And your lecture was very informative, and I hope to speak about it a little bit when we air this.
Good. I will send you different things that I wrote about it.
Great. Good. Terrific. Thank you, Rafi.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that was Rafi Goldwasser. At the beginning of the conversation, you heard Moshe Yasur, who certified that the recording equipment we use does not record anything stupid. All right. Well, an interesting take from Rafi Goldwasser on the world of Yiddish theater and where he thinks it's at. Some interesting developments in the Yiddish theater world lately. It seems that Bryna Wasserman is now going to assume the post of executive director of the Volksbühne. She'll be leaving, according to the Montreal Gazette, she'll be leaving the Siegel Center in Montreal on July 16th. And I'm sure everyone wishes her the best of luck and mit rechten Fuß. Break a leg, welcome to New York. Moving right along, I thought that we would look at some Yiddish plays that are not typical, and that say something about the Yiddish world that that no longer exists, pretty much, and that people aren't generally aware of. And I'd like to focus on a play by Official Bimko that the Volksbühne did a reading of several years ago that never made it to the main stage. But it's a play called Ganavim. And among the things that Bimko wrote for the Yiddish theater, and he wrote quite a few plays that were performed, and he wrote stories and other things. You can get his stuff on the Spielberg National Yiddish Book Center archive. And this one is about the Jewish underworld. And it has a special added glossary. Zugegeben a Wörter verzeichnisch von der Ganovensprache. So an additional glossary of the Ganovum talk, thief speak, Gaunersprache, something common to, I guess, all criminal subcultures, even subcultures in general, you know. I mean, if you don't know what a whiskey down means, you'd be lost in a Greek diner when your order goes in. But it's kind of like that. Then the underworld, the Yiddish underworld, had its own jargon. Its own. I hate the word jargon. That's one that's very commonly used. Jargon. Yiddish was called a jargon. So it's hard for me to use that word, but it's just a slang. It's a Damon Runyon-esque type slang, or you know, any kind of a gang culture kind of speak for things that the rest of the world isn't really privy to, and. Even the characters have nicknames that are listed in the glossary. So I'd like to just go over some of the names, because they're a lot of fun. Okay, hold on a minute, and we'll find the beginning of the glossary. Here it is. So. There's a character named Serb, and that is slang for Gespalten der oibischte Lip, Mezeta roistet sein. A hair lip, a split lip, so that you can see the teeth. I gotta get to some of the slang words, though, that I love. Oiskelacht means gestorben. Eisgelacht means, of course, laughed out, laughed himself to death, kind of. And atehillimul, Tehillim is, of course, the Psalms, and, you know, whenever anybody's sick, or whenever anybody, you know, needs help, the thing to do is to say Tehillim. My father, he got up at 4 o'clock every morning, and he had his Tehillim book, and he said Tehillim every morning. Anyway, what that means in Gaunersprache or Ganovensprach is a Talia Kuten, a hand of cards. That's very funny, I think. Tehillimul. Let's sit down and have a Tehillimul. Okay. This is, of course, the thing about, I mentioned Damon Runyon, and I want to, without talking a lot about giving the entire story, this is not about nice people, this play. It's not Guys and Dolls. It's not... there's nothing romantic about it. It's not Robin Hood. It's not. These people don't typically break out into song, although they appreciate a tune. They're violent people, and it's a take on the life of the Jewish people in Europe, in the Ashkenaz Galus, in that culture. That we have grown apart from. And I don't think it's because of any other reason than we aren't exposed to it. The people who still care about it, about what that life was like, and preserving some image of it, have confined their efforts mostly to academia and mostly to what they believe is a dying audience. So it's hard to feel any kind of inspiration under those circumstances. You know, everybody has to rethink themselves. It's hard for me to understand why, when the idea of preserving our world, and such a wonderful world, I mean, with all its drawbacks, it's had an impact on world culture beyond what it ought to, actually, judging, you know, if you look at the numbers and the statistics. But we don't need to invent anything new, I don't think. We just need to take a new approach. So, having said that, Ganavim is a very interesting play. If you read Yiddish, you can download it from the National Yiddish Book Center's Spielberg Archive. And right at the end is where you will find the glossary of terms. And have fun. If you'd like one more, let's see. Let's try something. I'm just becoming fascinated by these things. Here's what Kornik Ahiner Steig an Ort wie es halten sich auf Ganuven verdächtige Menschen schreib a Heisel wie sind in Faran Gassenmeidler was riefen sich auf von neulerischen Luschen Eufes in seiner Futter der Kornik. I guess Rooster, and this is Kornik, and this is the name for a pimp who has a house of Eifus, chickens, I guess, of the Voilerischen Luschen, of the right speak, the correct speak. You can imagine that this play would be a lot of fun. It would have to be supertitled very carefully to come across to people reading the supertitles to give the flavor of it. But it's a lot of fun. Another play like this is Sholem Asher's Gott fin der Kummer. And this is a play also about... A underworld situation in which the an elderly couple who have run a bordello for their entire adult lives have a daughter who they have raised as a kushere Yiddish tochter, you know, the pride of the Jewish people. And she's 17, she's nubile, she's fresh, she's innocent, and they want the right match for her, someone who will preserve their image of her as a real saintly matron of the Jewish people. Needless to say, it doesn't turn out that way. But along the way, there are some interesting twists and turns. This show was actually banned. Performances of it were interrupted by the police, and it was closed for its overtly sexual content. today it's nothing. I mean, believe me, what you can see on network television today far outstrips. But it had to do with the lesbian scene, and that at that time was very, very controversial. So anyway, this is another one of those plays that, by the way, was done by the Reiner Wasserman, directed it at the Dora Wasserman Yiddish Theater in 2006, I think it was. And the kind of reviews that she got are the kind of reviews that I would like to see in the New York papers about Yiddish shows. There was one in particular, and I'll try to find it because I don't want to misquote it, and I don't want to, you know, if it takes too long, I won't pursue it. But she did produce a version of it. Kareid O'Brien produced an English version of it on 42nd Street in what is now Show World. Makes sense, right? And it was critically very well received. You know, like a lot of shows that are so interesting, there's another show about the Gluckel of Hameln. Gluckel of Hameln wrote a history, a diary, and it portrayed Jewish life in northern Germany in the 18th century, I think it was, yeah. And it was done by at La Mama, and Jenny Romaine, and just really wonderfully creative theater and theater puppets, street theater, really a real wonderful theater person. She did it with, and there was some very nice, Adrian Cooper was in it, and it played at La Mama. It got rave reviews. I mean, nothing ever happened with it. So I don't know what that means. I've talked to Jenny. I asked her if the puppets and the costumes, because they're big pieces, still exist. She says, yeah, they're upstate somewhere. And I think it would be a tremendously positive and fun thing to see that show again. At any rate, here's the review. Let's see. Now I gotta find it. But it's worth looking at. Because it's exactly what I would like to see people saying about the plays we produce here. And well, let me paraphrase it. Okay. Here we go. Putting on a legit drama instead of its customary musical is a departure the Dora Wasserman Theater ought to make more often. All things considered, any Yiddish theater production is a miracle. But a show as well realized as this one moves the company well beyond the ethnographic living legacy appeal. I'd like to see that, you know, in the New York press about a show that's put on here. And since Reiner is coming, perhaps in the not so distant future we will see that kind of compelling theater. So that, obviously, what that says to people is, you don't have to speak Yiddish, and this is about theater. This is about something that has quality as a theatrical experience that anyone can appreciate. I'm sorry if I spent too much of your time just looking for that quote, but you know, it could forebode hopeful things, and it's certainly nice to hear Yiddish theater spoken of in those terms. You know, usually you get the saccharine kind of, it's wonderful, it's like Lawrence Welk, wonderful, 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 Yiddish theater production, blah, 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 blah. But it's like you don't want to kick your old bubby. So we have not had a lot of luck getting reviewed by the press. I was speaking to an editor at the Jewish Week, and I said, why don't you send a reviewer to something we do? You don't have to give us a good review. Just give us a review. It can be a bad review, but for some reason we have not had. I've had a Yossel Rockover reviewed in Montreal when I did it at the festival, but we have not had a lot of, and some very nice personal, what do you call it, testimonial or whatever, but not too many reviews. A lot of features, a lot of articles, but I don't know. Maybe I should stop here. I want to talk about stuff that we are going to be doing in the next, in May. May 1st, I'll be doing Yossel Rockover Speaks to God at Temple Beth Emes, a Reform synagogue out in Brooklyn on Church Avenue and the corner of Church Avenue and Marlboro Road, 83 Marlboro Road. You take the Q or the B to Church Avenue, and it's just a couple of blocks from there. So I'll be doing Yossel Rockover as part of the Yom HaShoah commemoration, which is May 1st. We seem to have a lot of variety, and it's almost like the Easter, you know, where this year I understand Easter, everybody's Easter is on the same day. Can you imagine? That's today. But it's like the Warsaw Ghetto and the Holocaust. There's Yom, you know, there's April 19th, which is the actual date of the ghetto, the Western calendar's reckoning of the date of when that happened. Then there's May 1st, which is Yom HaShoah, the Yom Holocaust Day. Then there's another day called Yom HaZikaron, which this year is on, I'll tell you in a second, it's on May 9th. Nope. Go figure. Well, I proceeded, of course, followed by Yom Ha'atzma'ut, which is on May 10th. We have a lot of we have our sects and our partisans. Some people went to one, some people went to other. This is a time of year where all these memorials take place. So May 1st, we will have a talk back afterwards led by the rabbi of Temple Beth Emes, Heidi Hoover. And I'm looking forward to it. Then on May 8th, we are going to read the first act of the Dybbuk. We is the Yiddish Theater Workshop. And let me say a few words about that. The Yiddish Theater Workshop is a new project, relatively new project, which started out in a very promising way, and I hope will continue. We've been kind of short-circuited by a change of venue. We had a wonderful space on 24th Street due to the generosity due to someone's generosity. We had a wonderful space there. And for reasons beyond anyone's control, We have not been able to use that for a while. If anybody out there cares about cutting-edge Jewish Yiddish culture and would like to see it facilitated, it's a rough proposition because like anything cutting edge, it has its drawbacks. You know, it has its it has its over the top adherence, and it has its ethos, which is very pure, and therefore can sometimes be chaotic. I don't know how else to say that, but. Anyway, if there is a space that you know of, either in downtown Brooklyn or Manhattan, somewhere in, you know, in downtown Manhattan, anywhere, Dumbo, anywhere that would like to contribute to the evolution of Yiddish and Jewish culture and spiritual evolution, give us, you know, go to our website, which is newyiddishrep.org, and contact us. And, you know, not that I expect anybody to be, I don't expect a full mailbox after this announcement. But if you do, help us out. But hopefully this project will continue. And we are basically just getting together and reading once a week, reading Yiddish plays. The young people from Yiddish Farm and Jugendtreff have been very enthusiastic about it, as well as people from Schulent, which is we started this as a kickoff to Schulent on Thursday nights. So you know, it has had a promising beginning. We've been working on the Dybbuk, and we're going to do like a public reading of it on May 8th at Temple Beth Emeth, Mother's Day. So, you know, bring your mama if you can make it. And afterwards, we will try to organize Yiddish karaoke, Yiddish karaoke, or at least a sing-along. There isn't a lot of Yiddish karaoke material out there, folks. It may surprise you. However, that is the case. You know, we have some work to do, but I like the idea of Yiddish karaoke, and there are a lot of great Yiddish songs and great liturgical pieces as well that people would love to butcher if they could. So let's see if we can provide them with a service, and in return, they can be an audience. They can be our audience. Is that so much to ask from anybody? Is that a terrible thing? So anyway, that's on May 8th. And then on May 22nd, we are going to try and, we are going to read the Jacob Adler Shylock again. We're going to do another reading of it that we did at YIVO, which seemed to be very successful. It was sold out well in advance, and people's reaction to it seemed very positive. I just read Alan Rickman, who has been participating in the reading, gave me a copy of Shylock's Tochter, a Maurice Schwartz production. That is based on a novel, or a novella, that was written by the same name, and it's not even an adaptation. It's total. The plot is totally different. It is not the same show. It's not the same piece, even remotely. But it's extremely interesting, and it. It gives a picture of what Jewish life was like in 16th century Italy and Europe, for the most part, You know, other than the wilds of the Ukraine, which at that time was I pretty much still open, open country, although not entirely the case. I mean, it had already been the Cossacks had already been well in control by the middle of the 17th century, but in most of what was considered civilized Europe, Jews were confined to ghettos. Really wasn't a pretty picture. And this play actually shows the, you know, tries to give a realistic view of what life was like for Jews. And consequently, Shylock turns out to be a totally sympathetic character. I mean, not halfway sympathetic, he turns out to be not only totally sympathetic, he's a fucking saint, is what I'm trying to say to you. So, it's interesting, and it's an interesting take on it. As Alan pointed out to me, the other Rickman, Alan Lewis Rickman, pointed out this was produced right after the war, and it's interesting from that point of view, and Alan's quite right about that. So maybe we'll work up a reading of that one at some point to give people a chance to see the immense difference. And Adler's adaptation, of course, changes the play radically as well, but it doesn't go anywhere near as far as Shylock's Daughter. Perhaps that's in the offing as well for us. I want to urge folks who want to read Yiddish plays and be in an atmosphere in which they can hear some Yiddish. We will try more and more to provide transliterations. That's the thing that is a big obstacle right now. I think a program like this could be very successful if the transliterations existed for the pieces, so that people who are not familiar with Yiddish or don't speak Yiddish can still participate if they have a translation to look at and read a transliteration. They could still participate in the process. So hopefully we'll be able to get more and more organized. And right now, every Thursday, at 7 o'clock, we have an acting class, a beginner's acting class. It's open to anyone who wants to come. And at 8 o'clock, we do a Yiddish a reading of a Yiddish theatrical piece. It's so far, as I say, we've been doing the Dybbuk. We're going to begin reading Gottfried Nekuma, a play that I talked about earlier in the show. So if you're interested, I'm trying to get my hands on a transliteration. We'll see. But anybody interested, the play has been translated into English. If you're interested in finding out about more, just go to newyiddishrep.org and, you know, contact us, email me through the website, and I'll be happy to try and answer any of your questions about it, or you know, if you want a PDF, if you are familiar with Yiddish and you read the Yiddish, I will send you a PDF of the piece, I will put you on the mailing list. It's a separate mailing list. So if you want to be on it, please send me your email address, and I'll put you on it. You'll be on the Cholent mailing list, and you'll be informed every Wednesday, or actually Thursday in the wee hours, where Cholent will be and what the lecture will be and what the activity will be. But we'll be there every Thursday, rain or shine. And as many people as show up, that's as many people as we'll work with, and try and read some Yiddish theater, do some acting exercises, go over monologues. The time is there for anyone out there who wants to take advantage of it and have some fun and be around Yiddish. So, having said that, I want to talk a little about the Yiddish Farm plans. There's going to be a Gullus Festival in July. The Yiddish Farm is putting it together. It's going to be up in Goshen, New York. And again, if you want to find out more about it, you can go to yiddishfarm.org, I think, is their website. Or go, if you have trouble with that, go to the New Yiddish Rep website, and I will hook you up. It's going to be tents, and if people want to stay in hotels, then they'll be steered to, there'll be some deals with hotels in the area. And there'll be all kinds of, there'll be food available, it's an extravaganza, but there'll be entertainment, there'll be workshops, and above all, it will be an opportunity to get together and with other people who have a common interest in Yiddish and Yiddish culture, and undoubtedly you will hear a lot of Yiddish up there, because one of the things that Yiddish Farm is committed to is conducting its activities as far as humanly possible in Yiddish. You'll hear a lot of the staff and a lot of the Yiddish Farm faithful babbling away to each other. One of the things I enjoy about their whole thing is that their thing is, it's better to speak a broken Yiddish than a wonderful English. Meaning, don't be, my Yiddish is not that great. But the chief thing is to speak it and not be self-conscious about it. And read as much as you can and study when you can, but speak it, interact in Yiddish. That's the ultimate gratification. So we need more and more opportunities for people to be exposed to it, for people to be able to say the few words that they know. Try to put together three Yiddish words in a relaxed atmosphere where the key is the love of the culture and the language. I think people will find themselves able to get over their shyness or their reluctance. And, maybe we can gradually win back people to an appreciation of our culture. Or educate them so that they understand what our culture is, rather than leaving them with the impression that they've been given thus far. I hope I'm not insulting anyone or giving anyone cause for taking offense. I don't mean to say that the people working in the field now are not doing their best and are sincere and I'm not trying to say that I'm smarter than any of them. And it's a good thing you can't see my face. Well, the good news is, that I have been speaking with Rafi Goldwasser about trying to do a project with him and with other people from around the an international cast of characters to do some Yiddish theater in, and we've begun to work on it. Who knows what will happen with it? I'm not sure that it will come to fruition. But as Rafi said in his interview, the main thing is the willingness. And if we're willing, I think it can happen. And there appears to be a willingness right now. Let's see. Did I get a message from you guys? No. So I assume we're still on the air. So as I was saying, we're working on trying to do something, perhaps in October. And we're still trying to decide what kind of material we're going to try and work on. And there is a Yiddish theater festival coming up in Montreal. I think that's Brian's swan song up there. The Volksbühne is preparing to mount Herschel Astropolia again. And that should open sometime in the middle of May. So if you're interested in that, you can go to their website and find out more about it. I've told you about our plans for May. There will be another evening on May 25th, a Wednesday at 7, in cahoots with the Kultur Congress. We will be presenting Sharon Bernstein, a cantor musician from the West Coast. Looking forward to that. That should be a very interesting evening of music and discussion. That's May 25th at Temple Bess Emeth in Brooklyn, 83 Marlborough Road. For more information, we should be updating the website soon with all of these events. So probably by tomorrow you can go to the website and have a look, see what's there. And if I can find some appropriate music, I'll take us out.